The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm expired after that song.
Well, so is Mukundi. It's the last time we let him dip into Eastern Europe for the choices, for his musical choices. That can't happen again, right? Actually, so a lot of people love it. A lot of people love it. Linda W. saying, excellent choice. We need this beautiful mellowness. Anna Signed says that I'm getting shivers from that song. Absolutely beautiful. So, yeah, a lot of people do like it. Garen saying, really like this song. So, yeah, but some people apparently did. I just wasn't one of them.
I have to say I had flashbacks, not happy ones.
Yeah, exactly. Post-traumatic stress ones. Either way, let's talk about what's going on in Israel. And of course, that Israel news is Ukraine news, because that is very, very much part of the global experience. We know that Zelensky spoke to American Jewish leaders. Give us a sense of what is happening in that regard.
Well, he spoke to Jewish American leaders earlier this week, and he also received a standing ovation addressing the British House of Commons. But over the course of the last couple of days, he has made an appeal to the Speaker of the Knesset, Miki Levy, to address Israel's Knesset. Unfortunately, we're not sitting in session at the moment. So the Speaker said it would be an honor to have you address the Knesset. We are unfortunately not in session, but we can organize to bring all our lawmakers together for a Zoom. Now, apparently, Zelensky is concerned that there won't be a big turnout. And I have to say, I would disagree with him there. He's very much the man of the moment. And I think lawmakers are going to want to hear what he has to say, especially in light of the very, very unique and delicate role that Israel is playing at the moment. In fact, this is a headline you don't see every day, Howard, which is the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke to PM Bennett to get his perspective on the negotiations and where Israel stands with us. I mean, I had to read that a few times.
Absolutely.
I couldn't believe it. The United Nations coming to Israel. But we are in a very, very delicate but important position. Now, yesterday, Zelensky's people also approached Yad Vashem. He's made a request to address Yad Vashem. The details of that are being ironed out with the Ukrainian ambassador to Israel. But very, very symbolic. So, you know, to me, looking at President Zelensky from a Jewish perspective, but also from an analytical perspective, I do think that you know, when it comes to taking on the propaganda juggernaut of Russia, and I think a lot of chickens are coming home to roost for the Russians during this war, Zelensky understands very, very well the beast that he is dealing with, and he knows the power of optics. He has, you know, the Ukraine are also not strangers to having to deal with propaganda. But Ukraine are looking at the Russians, looking at how they conduct war propaganda, and are playing a masterful, masterful game. You've got these incredible optics of the unshaven Zelensky in his combat color t-shirt, as opposed to the very anemic looking Putin in a suit and a tie behind that.
Austere. He's very, very austere.
Very austere. Yeah. Behind that ridiculous desk, I don't know if you can get those at IKEA. I'm not so sure. Haven't seen them here.
Well, it won't be an issue for him because IKEA is no longer going to be in Russia, so it doesn't really matter.
Very good for that social distancing. But he's
It's
very
interesting,
clever.
Because it is very dated. The way, his way of approaching people is very, very dated. Well, Putin comes from a very high power distant culture where you sit, where government sits very, very high above the people. Zelensky stands amongst the people. So the power distance is, we all feel like we know Zelensky. you know, and he wears, as you said, a combat colored t-shirt, but it's a t-shirt. And some days he hasn't shaven. I mean, it's all deliberate and it's all optics, but he does give us a sense that he stands and he walks amongst us, that we think we could bump into him when we go for a walk. Whereas in Russia, there's a great, great power distance. And it's quite symbolic when you look at that desk, because that keeps people incredibly far away. And his body language is such that, as I always say, he doesn't allow anyone into his personal space. He always stretches out his hand and goes into somebody else's personal space. They're not allowed into him. So he's very, very physically, emotionally, and from a government perspective, very distant. And we're seeing this conflict between the two, and that's playing out in the media, which is what you're referring to, and it really is fascinating to see.
But also fascinating is that Russia have used the charge of the denazification of Ukraine to justify or to rationalize their invasion. Now, Zelensky is very smart in this respect. Yes, we know he's Jewish. He doesn't hide it. Throughout his term in office, he has been the one to push for the memorial of Babi Yar. He's just before the invasion, the Ukraine parliament passed legislation that would impose heavy penalties against anyone guilty of practicing anti-Semitism, something that I wish more countries would follow. But the messaging of speaking to the Israeli Knesset, this very strong tie to Israel, Israel the mediator, Israel fighting against the odds, and now Israel the place of refuge, and Israel the place of holding that memory and education against Holocaust revisionism. Very, very, very clever media, I don't want to use the word ploy, maybe tactic by Zelensky to address Yad Vashem, because when you talk about denazification, when you talk about dealing with the Holocaust revisionism, which we're seeing play out during this horrendous conflict, or did I hear correctly, it was referred to as an impasse by someone, still astounds me.
Absolutely.
The imagery we're seeing, looking at Ukrainians burying their dead in a mass grave, really, really was like a gut punch for me. We never thought we would see that in Ukraine again. And now speaking to Yad Vashem to shore up and bolster against that accusation of denazification. Very, very powerful.
It really is. There's no doubt. So what is happening with the Knesset now? Is he is going to be speaking to Knesset or not?
He is going to be speaking to Knesset, albeit via Zoom. The nice thing about the Knesset on Zoom, Howard, is that you can mute all of them. It's fantastic.
Wow. That's genius, proper. But I'm assuming, I mean, it has to be surely on Zoom. Oh, I see, they'll also be on Zoom. It's not that, I couldn't understand, because he couldn't be there anyway. I mean, surely he's not going to leave Kiev. So they will all be on Zoom as well when he addresses them.
Yes, yes, they'll be on Zoom because the Knesset is not in session at the moment.
What are we expecting him to say?
I think he's going to probably thank Israel for the role of mediator. I think he is going to try and appeal for military aid. And of course, Israel is in that very, very, very precarious position that we cannot provide military aid. We have to balance our very delicate positioning with Russia, and the feeling and the sentiment amongst Israeli people is that sooner or later we are going to have to take a much harder line against Russia. How this affects us with regards to Iran, with regards to Syria, is a very, very important matter. I would expect Zelensky, knowing that he is addressing the Israeli Knesset, to use terms like genocide, to hearken back to Israel's fight for her survival in the War of Independence, something that he has referred to time and again, and something that is being brought up. You know, it's fascinating to watch the Ukrainian people, some of them holding up signs quoting Golda Meir. Golda Meir, who incidentally was born in Kyiv, she was Ukrainian. But going back to, you know, if we laid down our weapons, there would be no Ukraine. Famous comparison that Golda made with the Arabs. I think he's going to talk a lot about the accusation of denazification, and he's going to try and tie together the ties that he sees between Ukraine and its people to Israel. It's very much going to be Israel is Ukraine, Ukraine is Israel kind of message.
Absolutely incredible. Op-eds in the media from members of the administration?
Also incredible, we had the foreign minister writing an op-ed for the Times of Israel last week using this specific language, and also very clever to appeal to the Times of Israel that has a much more centrist look at or viewpoint, very much going for that center base that's, you know, not seen as one way or the other, but Ukraine's leadership very, very much has Jewish leadership, the state of Israel on its radar. Having said that, Israel is playing a tremendous, tremendous role in this. The amount of humanitarian aid, humanitarian assistance that we are giving is extraordinary. We've got not just the intake now of 25,000 Ukrainian refugees, of course, the majority from the Ukrainian Jewish community, but we've said we'll take in 20,000 Ukrainians who aren't Jewish until such time it is safe for them to return home. Our presence on the border of Ukraine with our diplomatic corps, and I just have to take a moment to really, really give appreciation and gratitude to Israel's diplomatic corps from Slovakia, Romania, Moldova, Poland, the embassy of Israel to Ukraine, a phenomenal job. IsraAid, United Hatzalah, our Ministry of Health setting up the massive field hospital, and rumor has it we may have a second field hospital set up. The aid that we have and continue to send has really been extraordinary. And of course, Israel mediating between Zelensky and Putin. We do have some glimpses into what those meetings have been like. The officials not giving us too many details, but saying we have seen a softening from Putin, but Zelensky has some difficult choices to make, what will preserve his presidency, what will preserve Ukrainian sovereignty. But on the other side, is Putin perhaps using Bennett as some kind of pawn to store for time? How will this affect our negotiations, in the region? And how will this affect the talks in Vienna vis-a-vis Iran? So a very, very complicated position we find ourselves in.
And it's interesting because one has to wonder if it's better to do what Bennett is doing, which is really inserting himself in it, becoming more knowledgeable about it, speaking to the different parties rather than stepping aside. Obviously, there's a greater risk for getting involved, but it also brings benefits. Rolene Marks, we don't have more time, but I'd love to put that to listeners, that question. Should Israel have gotten involved? Do you think the benefits outweigh the risks that Bennett is taking? 34519 or 0618951019. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.